Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. Thank you so much for the privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth. You have been amazingly good to us. We can't begin to even count the many ways in which you have blessed us. Thank you for another privilege to stand and proclaim your word. Lord, I pray that I would speak boldly, unashamedly, the mysteries of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for that person here today who does not know you in the pardon of their sin. We pray that this might be a day of decision, that they might yield unto you. Have your way in this spirit, in this place, Lord. I pray that I would decrease and that you might increase. We ask all of this now in the matchless name of Jesus Christ and our soon to come reigning King, we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Is the joy of the Lord still your strength? Come on, don't fool me. Is he really? Give the Lord a hand of praise if he is. Just indulge me for a moment. God be praised for you. God be praised for this opportunity. I want to continue as we preach on what we believe and why we believe it. And this morning, I want to preach from the theme, Finding the Light in Jesus, my prophet, priest, and king. I would like to invite your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. And I would like to read in your hearing verses 4 through around maybe 16. Let's see what the word says. And Matthew 21, beginning at verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitudes said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who brought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? So ends the reading of God's word. Finding delight in Jesus, my prophet, priest, and king. What brings you delight? Maybe it's a pay increase. Maybe it's a great meal with family and friends. Maybe delight for you is a good night's rest. I hit a nerve there, huh? Maybe it's a child that has, the prodigal has come home and you're delighted about that. Maybe you find delight in just spending time with God all by yourself. What brings you delight? What about when things are not going so well? When your money's a little funny and the marriage seems to be going south instead of all of what you're doing to keep it going north, how does your delight hold up when things, well, are not going right? Anybody have any of those days from time to time? I mean, it's not always easy to hold on to delight when things aren't going so right. But the older I get, as years start piling on top of each other, what seems to bring most delight now is knowing Jesus Christ as my King, my priest, and my prophet. Amen. And if you ever reach the place where you know Jesus Christ as your King, and your prophet, and your priest, it almost doesn't matter what happens in your life, because you know whose you are, and you know who the Savior is, that he is your King, your priest, and your prophet. And if I ever lay hold to that, those titles, those offices that were talked about in the Old Testament, and now Christ is the fulfillment of the three in one, it colors your sensitivity to life and what happens in your life, because you know the King, he's your prophet, and your priest. And the reason some of us are miserable is because we have yet to submit to Christ as King, prophet, and priest. You can be just saved on your way to heaven, and that's it. But when you know him as King, prophet, and priest, you begin to see that there is so much more to Jesus than just life insurance from hell. That he wants to walk with you, talk with you, and guide you through this thing called life. But I have to be willing to see him, and I'm being redundant, as King, prophet, and priest. He's saying there's so much more to me, and I don't want you to miss it. Okay, J.I. Packard is an amazing theologian. He's written over 300 books, articles, dictionary entries, journals. He's something. If you ever get a chance to read, I think it's Knowing God, amazing book. He's now about 92. And recently, not long ago, as a matter of fact, he was interviewed. He has something called macular degeneration. It's where he has peripheral vision, but the macula, that thing that helps you to be able to operate a car, to see a television, to be able to drive, to recognize faces, it tends to hit older folk. So now he cannot read. He's not able to preach, do all of those things he used to do. It was amazing interview. An interviewer said, how do you feel now that you're not able to preach and to teach and to write anymore and to do those things that you used to do? And he said, you know, I don't miss it. I did it when I could. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He said, but I see Jesus clearer than I've ever seen him before. Even though I have peripheral vision and my eyesight will never get better. See, when you know Jesus as prophet, priest, and king, it really does not matter what happens in your life because you know who you are and whose you are. And Matthew 21, he kind of gives us a thumbnail sketch. We get to see Jesus as king. We see he's mentioned as prophet. And we'll see him as priest. Chapter 21. Jesus, I got a short, long way to go and a short time to get there. Jesus is on his way to Calvary, about to die. Jesus was always saying, my time is not yet. And now Jesus is making it known to everyone that he is indeed the promised Messiah. Jesus gives some very specific instructions to two of his disciples. He said, listen, I want you to go over to the town, and when you get there, you're going to see a donkey, and it's going to be tied up. I want you to loose the donkey, and if anyone says to you, why are you doing this, tell them that the Lord has need of it. Let me put a pin in that right there for a moment. What do you have that the Lord has need of? I know you're saying like me, well, he's the Lord. He can get anything he wants. No, you're right. But you know what? He likes to work through people. He enjoys working through you and I. So the question is this, what do you have, beloved, that the Lord has need of? Maybe it's your mind. He's gifted you with a medulla. You got a great mind. And he's saying, I can use your mind to do my bidding. You're skilled in teaching. I can use your skills. You're analytical. I can use your... What I'm saying is that each and every one of us in here has something that he can use. Listen, to his glory, it's not for your own self-aggrandizement, but it is because of him. He is the one who gifted you to be able to do that. So he gives them this instruction to go and bring those donkeys back. And the Bible says that they did as Jesus had instructed. Again, Jesus was not making known. He said, my time has not come. Well, now his time is come. And the people knew who this was. As a matter of fact, Jerusalem was packed. It was over 2 million people there. Many wondered whether or not Jesus would actually show up because they knew that there was this ongoing feud between Jesus and those religious leaders. So everyone's waiting. Is he going to come? I don't know. You know, them boys been on him. No, but I think he's coming. I love that because Jesus never runs away from a challenge. Oh, beloved, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, ought to have that same kind of attitude that I'm not going to run away from representing my Lord. He was not afraid. So there Jesus is, and he's ready. As a matter of fact, the people were so excited that they began to cut down branches and they tossed them on the road. Some of them took off their garments and spread their garments so that this royal procession could take place. Oh, it must have been something to see, beloved. Can you imagine the noise and the excitement as Jesus was making his way this processional? Your mind's eye, gotta see it. All of those different colors working and the voices of people being elevated. Whew. My goodness, that had to be something else. And then they started saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were excited about Jesus. Point number one, choose to honor Jesus as your king. Yeah. Choose to honor Jesus as your king. That's what they were doing. They were honoring him. They were giving him reverence because of who he is. And they were excited. And they gave him reverence. You have to choose, and I do as well, daily, to honor him as king. King means that he has dominion and rule and reigns over everything. And he wants to reign and rule and have dominion and authority over every area of our lives. I know that's tough because, see, we done been to school a couple days and we done learned a few things. So we think we know some stuff. Life got some stuff that your matriculation can't help you with. You need to know Jesus. You need to know something about the king, the prophet, and the priest. So here, Jesus is making his way in, and the people are excited. And beloved, we need to, every now and then, get excited about the king. All right. I'm amazed at the stuff I get excited about that really has no consequence at all. Think about it. And I'm not going to go into what it is. You got your stuff, I got mine. But you know, it's just, when I say, my God, he been keeping this child from West Baltimore for 63, almost 64 years. You think I'm not going to be excited? Are you kidding me? The number of mess that could have come my way that he somehow insulated and protected and shielded me from? You think I'm going to act like he didn't do anything for me? Are you kidding me? Every chance I get, I'm going to wave my hand and say hallelujah and thank you. I know this bores some people, but I'm still excited about Jesus. I still get excited about him because of what he's doing in me. And listen, he's been taking care of your family. The death angel missed you again. Don't think it's not because he wasn't in your neighborhood. The hearse reels never stop turning. But last I checked, looking at you, you look pretty good. Most of you ain't been missing no meals. You're out. You got clothes on. You're going to eat after you leave here somewhere. I mean, choose to make him king. Let me tell you something. One reason I got him, I need his provision as king, protection, his precious promises. I need that. Listen, let me tell you something. You have an adversary who does not want you to have Christ as king. As a matter of fact, he wants you to think you king. What do you need to check with Jesus for? Last I checked, you're the one who... And sometimes we believe the lie of the enemy. No, I need him as my king to protect, to watch over, to guard, to lead, to guide. Because the enemy wants to the Bible says, John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You mean to tell me you want to walk around all that unprotected? In Daniel 7:25, it talks about how the enemy comes to wear out, to wear down the saints of the Most High God. He wants to wear you out with stress, worry, anything he can. That word wear out means it's like a picture of a rock that's being pounded by water. It begins to change its appearance. It does not look like what it used to because of the constant pounding. Well, that's how the enemy, he wants to constantly pound us so that we don't look like we are people of God. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober, Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But thank God we have a king. That word king actually means one who is able. I couldn't almost finish this thing. I got stuck right there. One who is able. And listen, let me tell you something. As I'm trying to prepare to feed you, if I don't get excited, guess what? You ain't gonna feel it. I can't help that. I mean, if it ain't talking to me, I'm gonna leave it right there on the desk and try something else. I got excited when I saw that. That means, as one who is able, it almost doesn't matter. Look, if he's one who is able, that means that that marriage that's on the ledge of being divorced, if I go to the king and believe that the king is able to do all things, I have to believe that somehow, and I don't know how, why, or when, that the Lord somehow is going to either lead me to someone who can help us through this. I don't know. That's what makes trusting God so unusual. You don't know how he's going to work. But I have to be bold enough to trust him as king and say, Lord, you put us together. And you said, let no man put asunder. I believe it. So, Lord, help us through this. One who was able to heal our bodies. Now, people say, well, you know, my daddy had cancer. He ain't get hit. Well, that's true. Look, you leaving here. One day. Now, he can choose to heal you or not. But I've learned that even if he doesn't, you're going to get healing on the other side. And he gives you enough to be able to handle whatever it is that you have to face. Yes, death will come our ways. But all sickness is not unto death. So, yeah, I'm going to pray for healing. And if he doesn't, Lord, you know what's best. And I'm going to move on anyway. But he is one who can give comfort. And we need comfort. He's a company keeper. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The one who is able. So as you go through whatever it is you face in life, always keep in the forefront of your mind, King, one who is able. That disappoints the devil. He says, oh, shoot, here you go talking at Jesus again. Yeah, I'm going to keep talking Jesus too until it doesn't work. And all indication is, he always works for his children. He's like he's an anchor. He's a king who is an anchor. Gives us stability in the midst of life's storms. He's a king I can trust that will not abandon or forsake us. All right. There's an old song we used to sing years ago. There's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Drift away, drift away. You will surely drift away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Let him be your king. And when he is your king, oh Lord, you discover that you can trust him and go to him like he is your king. I want to honor him as my king with my attendance in church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some. When I show up here with those of kindred spirit and we're able to talk in fellowship, I'm honoring the king. When I handle my money right and give unto him what is due him, I'm honoring him. When I make myself available to serve in whatever capacity, I'm honoring him. And see, as king, check this out, he can also change your priorities. I mean, if you're really going to have him as king, king has the right to change our priorities. I know, we think we know what's better. I got you. I got that. But if he is king, I need to be willing to submit to what He says, even though it may be uncomfortable. We don't like that part. Because, see, we want to do our thing and we know what's best. But sometimes he's going to change your plans. There's a woman by the name of Amanda Berry. She was born January 23rd, 1837, in Long Green, Maryland. She was born a slave, 7 miles from here. Amanda Berry was the oldest of 13 children, her father Samuel and her mother Miriam. Her father was, and I'm still trying to figure this out, her father did odd jobs, and he was able to save enough money to free his whole family. I'm amazed at that. He was able to pay for each family member to be free. Then they make their way up to York, Pennsylvania. And at the age of 13, she leaves the house and she becomes a servant. She now washing people's clothes and sheets and all that kind of stuff. And she is exposed to the gospel. And Amanda Berry then goes on, and about 17 years old, she's at an outdoor prayer meeting, and the preacher, a female evangelist, was preaching in such a way that she came and tears began to come down Amanda's face, and she put her arm around Amanda. And at that point, Amanda said, I'm dedicating my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amanda Berry had to deal with racism, sexism, classism, a black woman dealing with all kind of folk in different places, freely released from her being a slave, went all over the country, Africa, India. See, what I'm saying is she could have just decided to be content being someone who just cleaned up folks' dirty clothes and been a maid. But when the Lord gets hold of you and you see him as king, you don't know what you may have to do or what changes you will make, because after all, he is your king. And I want to honor my king, even if it means I have to be inconvenienced, which she was. Sometimes he'll change your priorities. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me move. The second thing is this. One of the ways in which we are able to delight in Christ as prophet, priest, and king is when we learn to guard, to protect our alone time with God, with Christ as our prophet. The prophet is the one who spoke words of encouragement, the one who rebuked, the one who reminded them of events that are yet to happen. The prophet is the one whom God would use to talk to, and then the prophet would share the information with the people. Here it says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. Some of the people said, who is this? And let me stop there for a minute, because it means that some folks were there who did not know who Jesus was. How sad it is to not know who Jesus is, to not know about his forgiveness, to not know about his grace, his mercy. But I love it, because there were some there who said, wait a minute, we know who this is. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. They knew who he was. They were familiar with the scriptures. They knew that in Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. And he is still in the role of prophet today. That has not changed. I need alone time with him because I need to be reminded of just how sinful I can be. I can be a mess just like you. On some good days, it works well, but Lord have mercy. When we have some bad days, we're not very pleasant to be around. And I need the prophet and his word reminding me, you know you ought not talk like that. What's wrong with you? I raised you better than that. You've been hanging out with me long enough to know that that's not how you behave. I need to get away with his word and have him talk to me. In other words, I need to practice silence and solitude. Okay. We busy. And the noise that we get constantly is maddening. It really is. I mean, think about it. From sun up to sundown, you constantly being bombarded with noise. And too often, we let the busyness of the day rob us from spending time with Jesus the prophet. He said, I'm trying to tell you something. I want to talk to you. I have something to share with you, but you're so busy. Jesus even understood the value of pulling away and getting by himself. I know in Mark's gospel, Jesus had just been healing and just doing ministry. And he got up early that morning, and the Bible says the disciples were searching for him. And then they finally, and the Bible says he went to a solitary place. I love it. He knew the value of pulling away and getting alone with the master. And they said, we've been looking for you. He wasn't worried about them looking for him. He had a much greater need, and that was to spend time in the presence of the Father. All I'm saying, beloved, is that guard your alone time. And listen, you can do it so many different ways. Sometimes it may just be in your car and leave the radio off. I'm just talking about when you voluntarily decide not to speak. I mean, just basic things. You know what? Do I really need to listen to this again? Do I really need to hear? Can I just make this my sanctuary for the next 15 minutes? Can I do that? Can I learn to just pull away? Maybe just walking in the neighborhood for 5 minutes. See, we tend to make it grandiose. Start small. Make it achievable. You know, 5, 10 minutes. You and the Word, and you're just sitting. Some of you have homes and you got rooms that are just vacant. You just ain't nobody in there. Dust. I mean, just, you ain't hardly go in there. Child, I don't know what's in there. Go see it, maybe in there. You got one. Make it a room where it's your sanctuary. It's just sitting there anyway, so why not use it? I don't know. You might even be able to come by Faith Fellowship during the day and sit in here. Nobody gonna bother you. All I'm saying is find ways to guard your time alone with him. He does great things for people who understand the importance of pulling away and spending time with him. But also do this. It's not enough just to have him talk to you during those quiet times. That's always good. And that you be reminded of how wretched we can be. Yeah, we can be, you know, but aside from all of that, because we wrestle with the flesh, the devil and the world, all that stuff is constantly at us, but Don't forget that he also expects us to be able to share this word with somebody else. It's not enough that you just have one-on-one with him. But he's saying, listen, you fat as a tick. You know a whole lot of stuff. You got all this Bible in you, and you knew all this, and you're just about ready to bust with all that information, and then nobody even know you know Jesus. Get that stuff out of you. Let somebody know. You know what? Guess what I saw in John? You won't believe it, child. Let him work through you with what you know. Just tell them your story, if nothing else. Thirdly, trust in Jesus, your great high priest, in all things. Look at what happened here, and I'm really going to sit down because I know my time is limited, but it says, I was amazed by this. I'm going to let you go, leave you alone. It says in verse 14, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna, son of David, they were indignant. You know, he is our great high priest. His blood was spilled on Calvary that we might be forgiven of our sins. I mean, we can trust him completely as our high priest, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I was intrigued by the fact that after he had cleaned out the temple, and that's not the first time he did it, second time he had to cleanse, get the temple right. Folks wasn't doing right. But after he cleansed the temple and stuff was all over the place, and after his pressure had come down, probably, the Bible says that there were some people there who were lame and blind. And they came to Jesus, and Jesus, Sean, healed them. These folks that were hurting had enough sense to know that, yeah, he's pretty angry right now, and he's calmed down. And you know what? I'm foolish enough to believe that if he is who he said he is, that we can still go to him and see what he will do for our situation. See, they often stood, they were often, those who were needy, distressed, hung out in that area where all of the activity was. So it could have been all kind of folk there with all kinds of things going on. But it seems that Jesus saw this situation and he was able to do something about it. He demonstrated compassion. He's a compassionate high priest. It says in, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was at all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We have a high priest that we can still go to in the time of need that we might find grace and mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that I have a high priest who is speaking to the Father on my behalf, letting him know what my needs are. Don't run by that too fast, beloved. They showed up, beloved, with an expectation. If we go to him, he just might do something for our situation. Keep coming to him. As a matter of fact, it says, come boldly, unashamedly, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I'm really getting out of here. And watch this. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things, one translation says when they saw the miracles that he had done, it says the children, don't run by that. These were boys. These were boys at the Passover. These were young boys, and look what they were doing. Saying Hosanna to the Son of David. These boys began to bear witness to what they saw. Now, I don't know if they saw the adults saying Hosanna or what, but whatever the case is, these boys said, this must be what you do when you see the Lord do something miraculous. Let me tell you something. We need to change the definition of miracle. All right. You woke up this morning clothed in your right mind. That's a miracle. Okay, see, you're still healthy. Listen, I'm spending more time at the doctors now. Yeah. They give me stuff I thought I'd never have to get by way of pills. If you're over 50 and not taking at least one or two pills, count yourself blessed. But guess what it has done? As I go there and wait for the prescription to be filled, I see a whole lot of stuff. I see people with walkers with the tennis balls at the bottom. You know the one, right? I see people with oxygen on. I see people being escorted in. Someone's almost carrying them in. See, it's easy, beloved, to just because all is well with you right now, you don't begin to understand what some people are going through. That's why whenever I stand up here and attempt to preach, I always do it with your faces in mind. Because I don't know what you had to do to get here, and I don't know what you might be going back to when you get home. So if I can give you some kernel of hope to get you through another hellish week, I'm satisfied, and I think the Master is too. Amen. I don't know what you're facing, but I know you're catching hell somewhere. And if I can help you see finding the light in Jesus, you know what? I'm going to hold on to that the rest of the week because he's my prophet, priest, and king. Then I feel better. I will have discharged my responsibility and I can go get something to eat like you. But that's what happens. Realize that these boys had enough sense to give God praise. And I just want to ask you, do you have enough sense like these boys to give God praise for what he is doing in your life? I know some of y'all say, man, if he don't get off of that thing, I can't get off of it. Because if you know like I know what the Lord has done for me, you might be praising God for me. Come on now. You done caught some stuff too. It was nothing but the grace of God that has kept you. That's why when they say sing, stand up, if I can't carry a tune in a bucket, I'm going to at least try. Because God has been good. And these boys understood the value of giving God praise. Take all. Trust him. We have a great high priest. Whatever the situation and or circumstances. Learn to trust in Jesus, your great high priest. And Father, we do love you. Thank you for first loving us. We are amazed how you continue to put up with us in spite of us. Thank you for not discarding us. And thank you for your faithfulness unto us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his finished work on Calvary. Oh God, I pray that if one be here today who does not know you and a free pardon of their sin, Lord, I pray right now that you will trouble them. That you will trouble them to the point where they say, Lord, I yield. I'm ready to confess you as Lord and Savior of my life. I've been trying to do it myself, but I can't. So Lord, I pray that you will trouble them until they rest in thee. Oh God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his shed blood on Calvary. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. and ask these things. Amen.